The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. Make yourself comfortable for the moment. You know, evil has a vitality that defies time. Its power can be curbed, denied, defeated, but only temporarily. And when it returns, its force is more malevolent than ever. We've all been to dark places and felt the presence of evil. And we've all seen things beyond our power of understanding. But, like Tom Fairley, we feel there are explanations for everything. Or are there?
Cold, bitter cold, and the smell, decayed.
No, he's unconscious. We'll talk to him later. Folger, did your men find anything else?
Just the grass. It's curious, Tom.
I don't see anything, Klaus.
Yes, you do, Tom, but it doesn't mean anything to you. You weren't here when we found Flip. The area is flattened, and there's the same strange discoloration.
What's all this got to do with Frank here?
I don't know. But I promise you, I'll find out.
Our mystery drama, Frankenstein Revisited, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by Milt Wisoff and stars Michael Wager and Leon Janney. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back with Act One.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Bud, you say a lot of things nobody else can say.
Bush, St. Louis. Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
Please place your baggage on the counter, sir. The carts may not be used beyond this point.
This is Martin Milner. If you've never been through customs before, you may find it a little overwhelming. Know before you go. The U.S. Treasury Department's Bureau of Customs has prepared a free booklet that can help. It's called Customs Hints for Returning U.S. Residents, and you can get it at the Customs Service District Office nearest you. Listed in the phone book under U.S. Government.
We move now from the friendly people who make these broadcasts possible to the monsters who will make it impossible for you to sleep. I hope. Our drama opens on a story conference in a Madison Avenue bar. It will end, I assure you, in terror and fear.
Over here. Here, Tom. You sure picked a great place for our meeting.
Yeah, well, you're late.
If I didn't have to fight my way through the mob at the bar, I might have been here sooner. All right, what's on your mind, Frank?
Well, I've been looking for a special that we can use as a springboard for our new horror series. And what's more appropriate than the old Frankenstein legend?
You mean Boris Karloff and his magic electrodes?
No, Tom. Not the hokey monster brought to life by the mad scientist. That was cooked up by Mary Shelley. It doesn't rate with the gothic tale everyone in Germany knows about the infamous Baron von Frankenstein and his terrible death. It's got all the elements of a superb spook show. What's more, this is the 400th anniversary of the Baron's death.
So what?
So this, old buddy. The monster is reputed to return every century looking for fresh blood.
It won't work, Frank. I was stationed near Darmstadt, only a stone's throw away from the Frankenstein Castle after World War I. I've seen the place. It doesn't look like much. Even the burial crypt has been turned into a potato cellar.
Well, how about the incidents you mentioned at cocktails the other night? That's what really put me onto the show.
Oh, those killings I blabbed about had nothing to do with any monster. The police were satisfied the murders were committed by a fanatical group of neo-Nazis who called themselves the Werewolves. Who's going to be interested in a defunct castle on an anniversary nobody celebrates?
Well, they will this year. We're going to billboard the 400th anniversary with a gala festival.
Well, who's going to show? The peasants used to have a fit when I even mentioned the Baron's name. That was almost 30 years ago.
Oh, they'll come. We're going to have sausage and beer, fireworks, and a dandy house of horrors to set the stage for our countdown to midnight.
A fake documentary, papier-mâché, razzle-dazzle.
The storyline is sound. It should scare the heck out of people. Now, if you don't want to direct the special, then
all
speak
right,
up.
All right, count me in.
Good. Now, come on, square with me, Tom. Why all the bull about the potato cellar? You don't want to go back there, do you?
No, Frank, I don't like the place.
Then why not back out? I don't feel
Frank,
you're leveling.
Frank, I want to keep on directing for the network. I won't let anything stand in my way. Not you, not the gray hairs creeping up on me. Not even Frankenstein and his blasted castle. Just let me leave this one thought with you. We'll see how much you enjoy the scene when midnight approaches. I'd like to hear the tune you whistle when the wind howls.
Mr. Larkin. Mr. Larkin here.
Oh, so good to see you again. And you too, Mr. Shelley.
How are you? Klaus, I'd like you to meet our little company. This is Eileen Garrett, who will play the Baron's ward, Laura.
And a charming one, I'm sure.
Him I love.
And Flip Johnson, also known in the industry as The Voice. He'll do the descriptive background at the festival and the castle, the interviews with the man on the street. He will also double as Rolf, the suitor for Eileen's hand.
That won't take much acting.
In that case, you might do.
Oh. This is Klaus Folger, our local representative, who'll be our strong right hand during the production.
When do we meet Mr. Helmut?
Very soon. You will find he makes an admirable Baron.
Now, it's very strange. I've never heard of him.
Oh, he's quite a well-known actor, I assure you. Now, I think it's time to leave for the castle. It's not the plaza, but I hope you will find it comfortable.
Well, I'm sure we will. Who goes with whom?
Well, there's enough room in the limousine for all of you. The baggage will follow in a small wagon. Truck.
Yeah, how about you, Klaus? Aren't you coming with us?
No, Frank, I will see that the baggage is not consigned to München by mistake. But I will join you later.
I wonder what Mr. Helmut, the Baron, is like. I have a feeling.
Oh, Eileen, now you sound like gloom and doom fairly. He's probably just another average, run-of-the-mill weirdo.
You've done a great job, Klaus. Even the crew is happy in the trailers.
I like my room fine. A bit drafty when the drapes are open, but the comforters will keep me warm, I'm sure.
How about this lunch?
Yeah. I haven't had wild boar since the last time I was here.
Oh, is that what it was? It tasted like a suckling pig.
The secret is in the marinade, Flip.
I see.
Klaus, why don't you get the ball rolling? The details on the Frankenstein legend.
Oh, it's not a complicated story. The hated aristocrat who exercised all the prerogatives of his position in this village almost 400 years ago. Unmerciful beatings, torture, and death for what he considered affronts to his person. This was his home.
Be it ever so humble.
The Baron lived here with his ward Laura, but he was a thoroughly evil man and hardly behaved toward her like an uncle should. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Baron's death. 400 years ago, the Baron had a spectacular scene in the castle with Laura and her suitor Rolf. He mounted his horse and rode off into the woods. Someone or something ripped him from his horse and tore him to pieces.
And the legend says that every century, the monster that killed the Baron returns. That's about it. And we'll be doing this direct from the scene tomorrow night.
We'll have a short run through this evening. Look for places to spot mics and pick out locations.
Flip will stroll through the woods and give us a little ad-lib color.
Will there be a crowd there?
Not in the woods, Flip, baby. Just you and the Baron and the other monster.
Oh, how come?
Because no one in this area will venture into the woods after dark. Tomorrow night, the anniversary eve, they may not even stir out of their homes. Is that right, Klaus?
Possibly. People here are very superstitious.
Oh, are they? Why don't you explain what happened 100 years ago on the last anniversary?
I was not yet born.
Yeah, but you know what happened.
A man was found dead.
Dead, Klaus? He was butchered, wasn't he? Torn to shreds, and his head was found at the foot of the hill.
Well, Frank, this is it.
Well, I hate to admit it, Klaus, but Tom may have a point about the castle grounds. It is kind of tacky.
Well, I'm not sure I agree. Physically, it's not much, but the decay had to the feeling I get. I'm really frightened.
Oh, come on now, Princess. You're letting that creep's tail get under your skin. There's nothing here but battered stone and dirt. Reminds me of my pad.
I get bad vibes. It reminds me of a trip I took to Central America years ago. The ruined pyramids, the bloody altars where thousands were sacrificed to bloodthirsty gods. But it had the same aura of evil.
You are most perceptive, Miss Garrett. Evil is everywhere.
Oh. Who are you?
I am Paul Helmut.
He will play the Baron in our production.
How did you know my name?
No mystery about that. You are the only actress in the cast.
Oh, of course. Oh, forgive me, Mr. Helmut. You came upon us so suddenly.
Yeah, well, where did you come from? I never saw
him. From the Baron's bedroom. A passage leads directly here. The place is honeycombed with such passages.
But there are no other cars around. How did you...
I arrived here several days ago.
You've been here several days alone? Oh, I don't think I'd enjoy that.
I like to get into character, Miss Garrett.
Well, now that we're all together, I'd like Flip to walk through the woods and give us his impressions.
Oh, swell, off the top of my head.
Exactly. Anything you see and feel, don't force it. I want this played low key. Sound natural. It'll help build the finish.
He's all hooked up, Frank. He can start at any time.
Now, listen, are you going to tape this?
Yes, but only so that we have a record of it. Tomorrow is for keeps. Go, Tiger. Get the demons in the woods.
Well, I'd play the scene better if Eileen kept me company.
No, well, there's no moon, Flip. And I'd hardly call this a romantic setting.
Ah, romance is where you find it, Mama.
Is everything set, Klaus?
Yes. My assistant is about 100 yards in. Flip should be just about there now.
I don't want to interfere, Frank, but just what's going on?
A little surprise for our boy. It should make Flip less Flip.
Yeah, we have our men placed slightly off the path. He will make small noises, sounds, you know, create an atmosphere.
Does Flip know?
Of course not. That would defeat our purpose. Flip reacts beautifully. It will all be a surprise to him.
Frank, that's a dirty trick. Suppose something happens.
Oh, now what can possibly happen? It's just a small forest, trees and grass.
Well, I don't like it. Flip? Flip?
It's no use, Miss Garrett. He cannot hear you.
Hey, Klaus, give your man a cue and bring Flip in.
Yeah. Now I'm about a quarter of a mile into Baron Frankenstein's woods, and it's pretty much Dullesville so far. I was just thinking how strange it is. Haven't seen any animals around. Wait a minute. I think I just heard something. Probably a rabbit. I hope. Hey. There it goes again. Weird. Everything's so deathly still, and then suddenly just the faintest whisper of a sound, like something dragging. Hey, who's there? Do you think you're frightening me? Okay. I'll go in after.
Some find tongues in trees, books in running brooks, and sermons in stones. Obviously, Flip saw and heard a great deal more in Frankenstein's woods. Or did he? Perhaps we shall know more when I return shortly with Act Two.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K
presents Overweight on an Overnight.
Is the seat taken?
Please, sit down.
Thanks.
You have exceptional legs.
Oh.
But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
No, no, no.
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
From the moment that a child becomes aware of himself as a thinking being, he begins the difficult task of learning to communicate. For a while, gestures coupled with sounds are all he has. Then, gradually, he starts to assimilate the language he hears. And finally, the breakthrough and the miracle of human speech is his. As difficult as that process is for a child born without handicaps, imagine what it's like for one with cerebral palsy. In addition to the brain damage, which may make it difficult to walk or even use his hands, very often his speech center may have been affected as well. Although speech therapy may help, guttural sounds and slurred consonants may be the best he can muster in his effort to communicate. Imagine that same child years later. For children with cerebral palsy do grow up, and they need you then as much as ever to be understood, to find jobs, to enjoy life. Think about that when you are asked to give to United Cerebral Palsy.
Are there more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophy? Is there something in Frankenstein's woods that defies rational explanation? Or was Flip Johnson the victim of his own imagination? Perhaps if we push on with our little tale, we shall have the answer.
Flip, are you all right?
Well, wait a minute. Yeah,
I
think so.
Well,
I don't know. I was just strolling along, and wham, the lights went out.
What did you see?
Nothing.
But we heard you, Flip. The eyes, you said. The eyes.
Now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I saw nothing.
We have it on tape. You complained about the cold.
And the strange lights, the eyes that burn bright.
You said it was impossible.
Well, all I remember is waking up and there you were. I mean, standing right over me.
What did your men find, Klaus?
Let me show you, Frank. Now, here we are. The point where Flip started to run. Now you can see the prints. Now we follow along for a few yards. And here we have...
burned circle. In the middle, discolored. As if the grass had been frozen.
Frank, yeah. Is this something that you...
We had nothing to do with that, did we, Klaus?
He's right.
I admit we arranged a few effects, but nothing more.
No, we would have had to have special refrigerating equipment. Well below zero to make such marks.
Well, how do you like it, folks?
It's fantastic. Instant carnival by Frank Larkin.
No, Tom. Give credit where it's due. Klaus engineered the whole setup.
It was not so difficult. We have a long tradition of festivals here.
I could almost enjoy this if only...
Forget it, Eileen. Nothing really happened. Flip just got panicky and ran. He fell, blacked out. He'll be all right. Klaus, are we set in the House of Horrors?
Yeah, we can go at any time.
Good. You all know the routine.
We already have good coverage in town and at the zoo.
Let's zero in on the big scene.
All right. We'll pick up Flip and Eileen as the Baron's ward, Laura. Now, you Flip her suitor, Ralph, and you meet her at the House of Horrors. I'll take over, Frank, if you don't mind. I might earn my credits.
I was counting on that, Tom. The show's all yours.
You ready, Klaus?
All set, Mr. Fairley.
All right, Slater, Klaus.
Scene 12, take one.
And action.
The Baron is not expected before tonight, dearest.
Not until quite late. I think I shall stay here forever. It is so enchanting. I'm sick of formality, Ralph. I'm bored with the same walls, the same faces, the same small talk.
And the same guardian?
I feel almost free here.
And then why not leave? Come away with me.
Once when I was a child, my father took me to such a fair. He filled me with cake. And pink drink.
Yes, and you always got sick.
Oh, but it was worth it. I enjoyed it so.
Oh, look, Laura, look. This is the House of Horrors.
It doesn't look so horrible. All tinsel and paint.
Come inside with me.
All right, cut. Hey, that was right on the nose, kids. It's a perfect first take.
Oh, good.
All right, that's it for now. We'll pick up the woods near the Castle of Eight tonight. Just take it easy until then. Klaus, you'll have your crew setting up at 7, right?
At 7, Mr. Fairley.
Eileen, you in a hurry?
No, why?
Well, how about a turn through the House of Horrors? Give you the $5 tour?
Oh, I could use the exercise.
Good. You pick the passage, we'll follow it.
Let me see. Ippity, jibbity, zippity, zam.
Zam it is.
Oh, this reminds me of my first date.
Oh, first dates are creepy. Mine had a walleye.
And mine took me to the tunnel of love. Our first kiss was an orthodontist nightmare. Braces rubbing against braces. We sent out sparks that lit the tunnel.
It's too bad we're past the braces stage.
You know, Tom, that's the first time I've heard you laugh since we started this trip.
It's nothing much to laugh at.
Was it that bad?
Yeah. I get the feeling I'm reliving the whole thing. I don't know why.
Well, I'm a pretty good listener, Tom. You want to talk about it?
Well, why not? It was 45 and the war was just over. We'd been through some rough times and we were sent here for R&R.
R&R?
No, rest and recreation.
Oh.
Seemed like heaven at first. So peaceful. No noise, no bloodshed. But it turned sour. Some of my buddies got blown away.
Did they ever discover who did it?
No, not a clue. The army command blamed the neo-Nazis, the werewolves.
Mm.
But the townspeople were convinced it had something to do with the Mad Baron. It's a bad scene.
Mm. And you?
I believe what I see. But it did shake me.
I'm glad Flip is all right.
So am I.
But not for the same reason?
Oh, look, Tom. Flip and I are just friends. Casual friends.
That's the best news I've had in days.
What's that up ahead?
Looks like a treadle.
Well, what are we waiting for? Treadles are for treading. Step on it.
My slumber, I will have revenge.
That's one heck of an effect. The Baron in non-living rubber expanding before your very eyes. This would be sensational at Macy's Parade.
Klaus didn't overlook a thing. It should go over big with the tourists and the people in the village.
On the contrary, after the first person sees this, it will keep them away.
Helmut, where did you come from?
What are you doing here?
Just visiting.
Oh, you startled us.
I know. I seem to have the same effect on the people in town.
You know, you look familiar to me. I've seen you before, but I can't remember where.
Shadows and half-light make strange impressions. I wonder if you can give me a hand, Mr. Fairley.
With what?
Something I found in a recess back there.
Okay, lead the way.
What is it?
I don't know. Signs of digging. I was about to see what it was when I heard your voices. Here.
Hey, you're right, Helmut. Those are fresh marks. Don't come any closer, Irene.
What is it?
A wild boar, I think.
What's left of it. It's not a pretty sight.
It's literally been ripped apart.
Oh!
Yes. I understand. It will be all over tonight. No, we'll finish the rest back in the States. You can count on that.
What was that all about?
The town council. They want us out as soon as possible. They were polite but firm. Too many things been happening. Flip and then the dead boar. The word's getting around and it's becoming amplified in each telling. Did your visit to town pay off?
I think so. It was tough getting permission to go through the old records. The clerk of the city hall was the perfect bureaucrat. He insisted on an application countersigned by his boss. I threatened to go to the Burgermeister, and he caved in.
Now, how about the newspaper?
They were reluctant, too, but greedy. A few marks in the right palm paved the way.
Well...
All right, see for yourself. Here's a reproduction of the paper's front page 100 years ago. Take a squint at the guy who was separated from his head.
I don't know. It's pretty well faded.
Look at the eyes in the forehead.
It could be, I suppose.
And here's a print of an oil painting of the original Baron von Frankenstein.
I believe Mr. Fairley thinks the picture resembles me.
All right, Helmut, where the devil did you come from?
This old castle is honeycombed with secret passages.
And you just keep wandering through them like you know where you are. Hmm?
I have been exploring them for days.
You know, Tom, there is a resemblance.
A trick of your imagination.
I knew I'd seen you somewhere before.
You're talking nonsense, gentlemen. I could not possibly have been here a century ago, let alone 400 years.
How about 30 years ago?
I was only a child then.
What about your family?
I have none. They were killed in the war. Does that satisfy you, Mr. Larkin?
I don't know about Frank, but it sure doesn't clear things up for me. Stay inside until midnight, Helmut. You understand?
Perfectly.
And stay out of the passages until the show's been recorded. I don't want any more surprises.
This place is beginning to get me. I'll be glad to get it over with.
Dinner is ready. We'll eat in here tonight.
Just as long as it isn't boar. Hey, where's Irene?
She has a headache.
Well, I'd better go up and see if I can do anything for her.
It's not necessary. I've sent some food up to her. I have some bad news.
three members of the crew quit. They were all as frightened as the townspeople.
Bad news? That's all we need.
Well, I have replaced them, but with such short notice, I'm afraid I've not been able to run up the most competent technicians.
Well, I don't imagine what's happened today helped much.
Well, that's all right, Klaus. I know you've done your best, and we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
Hey, pass the salad, will you, Tom?
Nothing stops your appetite, does it, Flynn?
No, I'm just a growing boy, Tom. I need fuel for my engines.
What? What's that? It's just behind that wall.
Impossible. There's nothing there.
You keep trying the wall. There may be a passage there. I'm going to a room.
I'm with you.
Look, the place is a mess.
If anything's happened to Eileen.
I know, Tom. Look, footsteps in blood.
They lead up to the paneling.
All right, let's knock a hole in it.
It's no use. It's oak. It's 7 inches thick.
Here. Press this carving.
What?
Where did you come from, Helmut?
Right, we'll talk about that later.
Hey, look, it's moving. And there she is.
Eileen.
Oh.
Eileen.
Oh, Eileen, honey. Oh. Here. Yeah, that's good. She's coming around.
Are you all right, Eileen?
I think so.
What happened?
Well, I was lying in bed, trying to pull myself together. It was dark and cool. Suddenly, I felt something in the room. I sat upright, but I couldn't see anything. But I knew it was there. I stepped off the bed, felt something warm and sticky. I panicked and ran. Next thing I knew, I was being held. And then, nothing.
You fainted.
I suppose so. Just as I was going out, I heard my name.
Who was it?
I don't know. It was just a whisper.
A nightmare, perhaps?
A nightmare? With a German accent.
Robert Penn Warren wrote, "The nightmare stumbles past, and you have heard it fumble at your door before it whimpers and is gone. It acts like the old hound that used to snuffle your door and moan. But who, your host inquires, has heard it speak with accent foreign?" We shall return shortly with more on the Castle of Bad Dreams in Act 3.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problem?
Wednesday, 10 o'clock. I'm back at the office working on the case when my secretary brings me the mail. Thanks, kid. The usual stuff. Then I see it. It's addressed to me, resident. Inside, a fake rabbit's foot. The pitch, a $2 donation or send back the rabbit's foot. My problem, what to do about it.
Help you with good advice from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah? Spill it.
If you receive unordered merchandise in the mail, you are under no obligation to return it or pay for it.
Thanks, pal. You're okay.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Hey, we're the action corps. See, we contribute more.
Cheese for the teamwork of our crew.
Our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, D.
We could go on all day.
Oh.
Here's why.
Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
If you have ever ridden a nightmare, you know what a hellish mount it can make. It carries you unwillingly beyond anguish and terror, through deadly whispers and pools of blood. But oh, the relief when it's over. Let's return now to Act Three and the end of the ride.
How's Eileen doing, Tom?
Physically fine, but she's as tight as a drum. Now, look, why don't we get the police in,
Frank? No way. We got two strikes against us in town now. Call the authorities in and we're through. We've gone too far.
We certainly have. We're right up against the point of no return.
But the production is almost...
Oh, damn the production! What does it take to convince you, corpses?
You're being melodramatic, Tom. Nothing's really happened yet. So, Flip saw something and a boar was slaughtered.
Did you see the condition Eileen's room was in? And how did she get into the passageway?
Surely you've heard of sleepwalking.
And I suppose she dreamed up the mangled animal and the blood, huh?
No. But so far, no one's been hurt.
Yeah, so far.
And nothing is going to happen. Now, we've got everybody on the alert. There are guards all around the place. Klaus has brought some extra men in. We've taken every precaution.
Every precaution except the most obvious one. Now, let's get out of here, Frank, before it's too late.
Not until the show's wrapped up. Well, come in. What is it, Helmut?
Folger says we're ready.
Oh, you used the door this time, Helmut. What happened, the passageway blocked?
Why the get-up? You won't be on camera, you know.
Just a few replicas of the Baron's wardrobe to help me get into character. Authentic, I can assure you.
You're taking this role quite seriously.
I take all my roles that way. I know only one way to act. If that's all, I'll be going.
Okay. Tell them Mr. Fairley will be right there.
All right, what's up, Frank? I should be splitting two.
Now, look, Tom, I don't feel there are any grounds for your suspicions, but I've had some checks made on Helmut's past. What he's done, where he comes from. I expect a report any moment now. That should clear the air.
Well, I hope so.
Now, all I ask is, let's get the job done. Don't let your feelings get in the way.
I won't. But if the news is sour, don't keep it from me, will you? In this case, ignorance can be disaster.
Oh, boy, it's getting cold out here, Tom. What's taking them so long?
They're almost set. How do you feel, Eileen?
About like Flip. Cold and miserable. Oh, I could use a fireplace and a hot toddy.
That's just what you'll have as soon as we finish this scene. It's short, but not sweet. Now, you and Flip, as the Baron's ward and your suitor, are returning to the castle. You got it? You're frightened, and Flip is trying to comfort you.
Ah, good. That's one scene I'll truly enjoy.
Mr. Fairley, why didn't you answer me on the talk back?
I didn't hear anything.
The equipment must be out. We're set to go.
Oh, good. Where's Frank Larkin?
I thought he was with you. He left us some time ago.
Did he say where he was going?
I assumed he was coming here. He did say something strange.
What was that?
Something about being convinced at last. Does that mean anything to you?
It sure does, Klaus. Send your men through the woods and the castle grounds.
I think we're just wasting our time. Let's go back to the castle and wait. He'll be along.
You can go back, Flip. I'm not going to give up until we find Frank.
Oh.
We still have the crypt to search and Klaus's crew to hear from.
Mr. Perry, Mr. Larkin. We found him. Come quickly. This way, Mr. Perry, in the clearing.
Is he hurt?
Yes. I think badly. There.
Frank. Are you all right?
He cannot hear you, I'm afraid.
Oh, but he's still breathing. Get an ambulance.
Help is on the way.
Was he conscious at all?
No.
Oh, no. Don't try to talk, Frank. We're here. You're going to be all right?
All right, Frank, Frank, just lie quietly.
Don't come near me. Don't touch me. Don't.
He's shivering. Throw a blanket on him.
Who did this, Frank?
Cold, damp, and the smell.
Who was it?
Cold, bitter cold, and the smell decayed.
Frank! Frank! Is he...
No. He's unconscious. We'll talk to him later. Folger, did your men find anything else?
Just the glass. It is curious, Tom.
What? I don't see anything.
Yes, you do, but it doesn't mean anything to you. You weren't here when we found Flip. The area is flattened. And the same strange discoloration.
What's all this got to do with Frank?
I don't know. But I promise you, I'll find out. Hello. Listen, I'm calling about Mr. Frank Larkin. A patient in room 305. You understand me? Oh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shout. I see. Thank you.
Well, Tom, what did they say?
Well, his condition is stable. That's what every hospital says unless you're dying.
Do they expect him to be there long?
Just a few days. You know, it's all so strange. So many things have happened. Flip, you, and now Frank. And nobody's been really hurt badly.
There are a few mangled animals.
Yes, well, that's what's bugging me. The animals get slaughtered, but people are more frightened than hurt. Except for Frank's close shave. Well, why? It doesn't make any sense. Anything powerful enough to murder some poor defenseless creature surely could do more damage than that.
Well, maybe there's no connection between any of the things that have happened.
Oh, that'd be piling coincidence on coincidence. I don't believe it, and I don't think Frank did either. After he got that phone call he was waiting for.
Well, then why don't you call the police?
For the same reason that Frank didn't.
But you kept begging Frank to delay the production.
Oh, not now. I'm going to finish this tonight, for Frank's sake. But I'm going to be sure that whoever's behind this pays the price.
And how will you do that, Mr. Fairley?
Oh. I guess you tried the door once and didn't care for it, huh?
It is easier to use the passageway. You didn't answer my question.
I know I didn't. The reason is simple. I don't know yet. But I will before tonight's over.
You mentioned a phone call Mr. Larkin received.
Yes. If only I knew what it was.
Perhaps I can help you.
How?
The telephone lines into the castle were a special installation. An exact record is kept at the company of every call made from and into the building.
Well, then all we have to do is call the company and find out.
Not exactly. They will give it to the police, however.
That's out.
Why?
Please, please, Tom, call them in. And the next time, whoever's doing this may forget the difference between man and beast.
She's right, Mr. Fairley. You do not know whom you are dealing with.
Do you?
Auf Wiedersehen. I will see you shortly, when the fun begins.
Okay, Klaus, let's get some levels.
Get Flip to say a few lines. We need some levels.
Okay. This is Flip Johnson in the burial crypt underneath the Frankenstein castle.
That's enough, fine. Thank you. Now stand by.
See if you can sharpen up the sound, Klaus.
Yeah, I will try.
All right, Eileen. You get to the Baron's room in the castle. Helmet's there already. We'll do your scene first.
Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry about a thing. We've got everything under control. I'll see you later. Klaus, pick up Helmet. Tell him Eileen's on her way.
Yeah. Helmut, Mr. Fairley would like to speak with you. Get on the talk back. Helmut? Are you there, Helmut? Get to the talk back.
Give me that, will you? Helmut, this is Tom Fairley.
I'm here, Tom, but no sign of Helmut.
Where the devil is he?
I don't know.
Oh, damn. Ask one of the men outside the door to check. You stay put.
He says he saw Helmut heading for the crypt some time ago.
Klaus, see if you can find him. I'll handle things here.
Yeah.
Flip, Do you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, Tom. You ready for me now?
Have you seen Helmut?
Nope. He's supposed to be here.
Just stand by. Eileen, have they found Helmut yet?
No. What's going on?
I don't know. But...
I think we had better go to the crypt scene first. I've seen through the passageway, but there are no signs of Helmut.
I guess you're right. Flip?
Yeah, what now?
Start your narration, and if you spot Helmut, let me know, huh?
Okay. This is Flip Johnson in the burial crypt underneath the Frankenstein castle. It is said that every century, the monster that slew Baron von Frankenstein returns to feed his bloodlust. And every century, the Baron returns from his grave to meet his fate again. We are less than a minute from the hour of midnight, when all this is supposed to take place. The question is, what will happen here tonight? In just a few seconds, we shall know. This burial crypt is one solid room cut out of deep rock. Behind the crypt is a tunnel leading to other burial vaults, and to passages that have never been truly explored. It is reputed that 1,000 years of Frankenstein lie buried here. Wait a minute. Cut it, Tom. I have to stop. Listen, are you picking up any sounds?
Yes. Something that sounds like dragging. Do you see anything?
Well, no, but the sounds are getting louder. Tom, are you trying to pull something?
Well, no, Flip. Believe me. Why would I try to pull it?
Something seems to be dragging. I hear breathing. At least that's what I think it is. It's getting cold and damp in here, and Oh, I smell something horrible.
Get out, Flip. Get out as fast as you can. All right, close in, men. Get into the crypt as fast as you can. I want every man in there.
I can see them now. Eyes. Evil. Bright as cat's eyes. Glowing. And enormous. Oh, God, help me. I can't move. It's here. It's here. Who are you?
This is the crypt, Tom. Someone's heading into the passageway. Over there, I think it's Helmut.
What about Flip?
It's not good. His throat's been crushed.
He's not
breathing.
Somebody stay with Flip. The rest of you go after whatever is in that passageway.
There. Stop. Stop, Helmut. Don't move. He's gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
He's disappeared. Vanished into thin air. So, this is goodbye, my friends.
Yes, and I can't say I'm sorry to go.
Tell me, what will you do with the tapes?
Oh, make a show out of them. Add a few scenes, and we'll be ready to send some shivers down our listeners' spines.
The publicity should help.
I suppose so. I can't help wishing it hadn't come at such a price. Poor Flip. It was a costly show.
Klaus, we've been sparring around for quite a while now. Let's stop avoiding the subject. Who was Helmut?
An actor. That is all I know.
But without a past, the report I received was completely blank except for his acting credits. Nothing.
He was just an actor. Obsessed with a role.
Do you really think so, Klaus?
What else can I think?
Then how do you explain what happened in the crypt? After he attacked and killed Flip, you and your men closed in on him?
And he vanished.
Right before your eyes.
But there must be an explanation. He knew every inch of the castle's grounds, every secret passageway.
Then you don't think he met the fate of the Mad Baron?
There were no signs of his remains.
Just some flattened, burned-out blades of grass.
It's an unbelievable climax for a legend.
Legends have no climax. They go on and on.
Drop us a line when you find out what really happened.
I promise. But if you don't hear from me soon, you may have to wait another century for the facts.
Since we don't have 100 years to spare, we'll just have to make up our own minds about Paul Helmut. Was he the infamous Baron von Frankenstein brought back to life? Or was he, and I don't mean to be redundant, merely a crazed actor? I'll be back shortly.
Will everyone around the table please touch hands with the person next to you? Good. Now we must have absolute silence while I try to establish contact. Is there someone here? If there is someone here, tap twice. Do you have a message for anyone here? Tell us your message.
Wait no longer.
Tell us what you want us to do.
Wait no longer. File your federal income tax return now and avoid the last-minute rush and the pressure that causes mistakes.
Someone has broken the circle.
Oh, that was George. He never likes to be late for anything.
This message brought to you on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
There is no need to look for a supernatural source of evil. Man has shown himself capable of every wickedness. But regardless of where it arises, evil has a vitality beyond time. Its power can be stemmed, but it will return. Our cast included Michael Wager, Leon Janney, Ralph Bell, E.V. Juster, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I need to hear it, Alice. We who have more or less left this world can't come back unless we are wanted by someone who is still here.
But I love you and I need you. I desire you. You should know that, Charles.
Well, it doesn't hurt to hear it.
Here's your chocolate. Try it.
I don't want it.
Oh, Charles.
The longer we're away from this earth, Alice, the less we rely on our senses. Mashed potatoes begin to taste like cold cream, coffee tastes like iodine, and this chocolate tastes like mud. They tell me this is quite normal.
Charles, when you say they, you mean...
I mean them, of course. All those.
The ones up there?
It isn't up there, Alice. And it isn't down there, either.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Nixon fielded a wide array of questions from White House newsmen and members of the National Association of Broadcasters in Houston Tuesday night. I'm Stephanie Shelton, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A summary of that news conference now from Robert Pierpoint.
The president announced that the lifting of the Arab oil embargo means there will be no government rationing of gasoline, and he suggested that service stations can now reopen on Sundays. Though there will, he said, still be a 5-8% gasoline shortage and continued high prices. He rejected Senator Buckley's plea earlier today that he resign, saying it might be an act of courage to do so, but adding it is also an act of courage to stand and fight for what you feel is right. President Nixon declined to say what he would do if the House Judiciary Committee issues a subpoena for more White House information, claiming he is cooperating with the impeachment procedure.
It is difficult to find a proper way to meet the demands of the Congress. I'm trying to do so, and trying to be as forthcoming as possible. But I also have another responsibility. I must think not of myself, but I must think also of future presidents of this country. And I am not going to do anything, and I'm not going to give up to any demand that I believe would weaken the presidency of the United States.
The president took several swipes at the press, for example, claiming that if the people interviewed in a recent Harris poll believe the nation is already in a recession, perhaps it's because nearly 80% listen to radio television news. Mr. Nixon also pulled back a bit from his stand last Friday against NATO Europe, saying he is opposed to any unilateral withdrawal of U.S. troops, but he still urged closer cooperation by America's European allies with the United States in economic and political affairs. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Houston.
The president is still in Houston, where he'll tour the Space Center this morning before flying back to Washington. The latest in the Hearst kidnapping in a moment.
Hello, this is Mike Roy.
And I'd be Denny Bracken. Which state has the best chili? Ohio, Oklahoma, Arizona, or New Mexico, Jeff?
Well, you know, there's a dispute still raging in the United States Senate, as the senators from those states each claim the best chili.
Who's got the best?
Tomorrow on our broadcast, we'll talk about these claims to chili fame.
Sounds like we're going to have a hot time in the old Senate, and on Mike Roy's cooking thing tomorrow. So be sure to join us, friends, for the great chili confrontation on the CBS Radio Network.
Make the most of fuel used to heat your home by following these suggestions from the National Bureau of Standards. Keep furniture and other large objects away from heating ducts or radiators. Keep closets and doors to rooms you're not using closed. Be sure the window nearest your thermostat is closed, so you'll get accurate readings of indoor temperature. And don't forget to lower the thermostat before you go to bed to save energy and reduce your heating bill. This message has been brought to you as a public service by the Consumer Product Information Center.
A California county judge has turned down a request for a broadcast news conference from two jailed men who say they're members of the Symbionese Liberation Army. Contra Costa County Superior Court Judge Sam Hall said he feared the appearance might create an atmosphere that would make it impossible for the men to get a fair trial on charges that they murdered an Oakland school superintendent. Allowing Russell Little and Joseph Romero to hold the news conference was one of the demands the SLA made for releasing Patricia Hearst. Her father, newspaper executive Randolph Hearst, who had urged that the men be allowed to make the broadcast appearance, reacted with disappointment, saying he would have more comment after he's read the judge's decision. The Senate Watergate Committee has subpoenaed the president's good friend, Bibi Rebozo. He's scheduled to testify Thursday in an executive session. The committee will be questioning him about his part in a secret $100,000 Nixon campaign contribution made by billionaire Howard Hughes, a contribution allegedly never turned over to the president's finance committee. As expected, Democrat Adlai Stevenson has won his party's renomination for the U.S. Senate in Illinois. More after this.
How to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this ad offering jobs to truck drivers. And what they were really selling was a training course that could cost me $900. Do these schools guarantee a job when you're through with the course?
Reputable schools do not claim to guarantee jobs to all graduates.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. And before you make a down payment on a training school contract, get the facts. Any contract you sign will probably make you pay for the course without getting you a job.
Thanks for the tip, buddy.
Not at all. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for. To help people to get a fair deal.
K Here's a bit of happy news. Today is the first day of spring, but parts of the nation will need a calendar to prove it. There's a blizzard blowing in the Livingston, Montana area, with heavy snow warnings for parts of that state and for Wyoming. Parts of Maine and New York reported an inch of snow yesterday, and many states will experience colder temperatures today. But there's always a silver lining somewhere, and yesterday it was Austin, Texas, which broke a record with 87 degrees. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
More than 400 candidates signed their names for state, congressional, and legislative races in time for the May primary election filing deadline today. Don Butler of Channel 6 News was on hand and filed this report earlier Tuesday evening.
The final hours did produce some surprises. Republicans finally produced a trio of hopefuls for the 3rd congressional district post being vacated by Democrat Edith Green, the most formidable being Portland businessman John Piacentini. And Vern Cook of Troutdale, an earlier announced candidate for governor and U.S. senator, changed his mind and filed for the 3rd District Democratic nomination. Incumbent 2nd District Congressman Al Ullman also drew some Republican opposition from Andrew Gigler of Klamath Falls. The governor's race attracted a crowd with 10 Democrats and 5 Republicans hoping to fill Tom McCall's shoes. Some last-minute entries swelled the field, but none of them are expected to cause the earlier filers much trouble. Congressman Wendell Wyatt's 1st District retirement drew 5 Democrats and 6 Republicans, and 4th District incumbent John Dellenbach won't have a Republican opponent in the primary, but 5 Democrats are in the run to oppose him this fall. U.S. Senator Bob Packwood also won't have any primary opposition, but 4 Democrats hope to upseat him come November. In other state races, 3 Democrats and 1 Republican are in the state labor commissioner's race, and 8 persons filed for superintendent of public instruction, a nonpartisan job. The final count on legislative retirement showed 3 senators step down and 9 House members either quit or run for higher office. Only 4 legislators won't have any opposition come spring or fall. They are Democratic House members Vera Katz, Ed Lindquist, Bill Grinnell, and Jack Sumner. The candidate making the most switches here today was Representative Wally Priestley. He first filed for Congress. However, yesterday he withdrew and filed for the state Senate. And then late today he withdrew from that race to run for his old seat in the House. Don Butler, Channel 6 News, at the Capitol.
The Evergreen School District had 2 measures on its ballot, and both of them failed to get the required 60% yes votes to pass. Evergreen voters turned down a $3,855,600 levy by a vote of 1,603 no to 825 yes. That amounted to only 34% yes votes, a second measure amounting to $145,000 for deferred maintenance failed by a vote of 1,435 no to 838 yes, only 36.8% of the yes vote. Officials of the Evergreen School District, which is among the fastest growing in Washington State, are expected to put the measure on the ballot a second time this spring. The Camas School District had a $1,240,000 levy on the ballot. It lacked 7 votes to pass. The vote was 1,069 yes to 735 no. Well, it was more than 7 votes that it lacked, obviously. That amounted to 59.2%. There are 7 absentee ballots, but even if they are all yes votes, the measure still fails. The Camas levy issue was the last try by that school district. Districts in Washington are allowed 2 tries at passing levies. The city of Corvallis may become the first town west of the Mississippi to impose an income tax. The issue is up to voters at the November general election. The city council approved the tax election last night, assigning the city budget committee to work out the details. Officials of the State Department of Revenue say, to their knowledge, no city west of the Mississippi has an income tax. Petroleum representatives say it's too early to tell how the lifting of the Arab oil embargo will affect gasoline supplies in the Pacific Northwest. Spokesmen for 4 companies that refine petroleum in Washington state say they are uncertain if increased oil supplies freed by the Arabs will reach eastern Canada. If Canadian supplies increase, more crude oil will be released from Alberta for refineries in Washington. A spokesman from the Oregon Attorney General's office says the State Department of Education will recommend whether to revoke the license of a Milwaukee real estate school. The license is at issue because the school allegedly obtained solutions in advance to the June 1973 real estate examination. Assistant Attorney General John Moore says the Department of Education will base its recommendation on the transcript of a hearing Monday. The TriMet bus system in Portland has bought 17 used buses to use in rush hour traffic. General Manager Tom King says some lines are operating at 110% capacity during peak hours. The used buses will provide temporary rush hour relief until new buses arrive. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver: fair and cool nights and sunny days through Thursday. The lows at night in the mid-30s, locally near 30 in protected areas. The highs both days near 60 degrees. Winds easterly of 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain zero through Wednesday night. The present temperature stands at 51 degrees. That's KOIN News at 11 minutes after 12 midnight. I'm Bill Garrity.
Cooperation with the Greater Portland Council of Churches, Coin Radio now closes our broadcasting day with meditation time and a prayer. Transcribed by the Reverend Kenneth Bomberg of Colonial Heights United Presbyterian Church.
Whether it be the high school football team or rally squad, the climbing of a high mountain peak, or a major surgery, the question is often asked, did they make it? Did they make it all the way to the top? Did they make it good? Making it might be said to be the goal of us all. You want to achieve in your chosen field as I do in mine. Nothing is more satisfying to us as hearing the opinion of another, "Brother, you've got it made." A recent book finds its author saying, "I am a man who at the precocious age of 35 experienced a startling revelation. It is better to be a success than a failure." It took him a long time to find this out because he said he was caught between the American gospel of success on one hand and the Christian gospel of service on the other. He resolved this difficulty by coming out for unashamed, unapologetic success. One who read his book said he had added a new beatitude to life. Blessed are the aggressive, for they shall reach the top. There are those who tell us that we place too much emphasis on achieving, however. As young people, some of us learned that to be lovable or to be loved depended upon what we did rather than what we were. Love really poured in when we made it and made it good. I think there should be a matching concern for those about us. Are they making it? And do we love them even when they don't? Do we love our children when they don't live up to our expectations, when they disappoint us? It may be that it is then that they most need our love. The Bible says, "I bid every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. The idea is that it is God who gives to every person certain gifts. It says, "Be grateful for your own and appreciative of those God gives others." All are needed in God's plan. Making it in life is something that we must do together. I never really make it if I leave others on the outside of life looking in. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you help me to make it every day. I'm grateful for the witness of your disciple Paul, who said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I need to know that every day. Help me to be concerned that others make it too. Where there is one struggling and I can help, give me grace to do so. Help me to learn to listen to other people in such a way that they will know that I care. Help me to know the joy of really making it with others at my side. For Jesus' sake, amen.
This is radio station KOIN, transmitting on a frequency of 970 kilohertz with 5,000 watts of power. COIN is owned and operated by the Mounted Radio and Television Broadcasting Corporation. Our studios are at 140 Southwest Columbia Street in Portland, Oregon. We now leave the air to return at 5:30 tomorrow morning. On behalf of the staff and personnel of KOIN, this is Bill Myers inviting you to join us again for another full day of the best in radio. Good night.